Welcome to You Learn Something New Every Day. I am Joan Boyko, Coordinator of Communications and Community Outreach for the Palm Springs Unified School District. We are here each Sunday at 9 a.m. on AM 1340 KWXY. We also invite you to download and subscribe to our podcast. It is really easy. All you have to do is go to iTunes, look for You Learn Something New, press subscribe. You'll get a new show each Sunday afternoon. And this show, of course, is produced by my team of very dedicated student interns here in the Digital Arts Technology Academy here at Cathedral City High School under the direction of Mr. Bryce Johnson. And Andrea is on the board. Thank you for your hard work. Truly appreciate you. The show would not exist without my interns. It's fabulous. And today on the show, I am very pleased to welcome our district's principal coach, Ms. Marcia Boring. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. I don't think you've ever done this, have you, with me?
No, I haven't.
I don't know how you escaped all these years. Marcia's new to this position. Oh, not so new. What's it been, like 8 months already? Something like that?
Yes, almost a year.
Yeah.
Next month.
But she's been with Palm Springs Unified a very long time, and she's a longtime friend of mine, somebody who I became close to on a... I'm going to digress a little bit right off the bat. I always do, by the way, because I like to.
That's
fun.
That's okay.
But I had the good fortune of going with Marcia on her, believe it or not, a recruitment trip to recruit new teachers. And who am I to recruit new teachers? But it was at the time when we didn't have enough people to go on these trips. So they said, do you want to go? And I'm like, oh, I can't do that. Oh, that's okay. You're going with somebody who knows how to do this, and you just have to be the backup. I'll say, okay, I'll go. And we had a great time, got to know each other really well. We went to Illinois, and it was Indiana. Yeah, it was Indiana. And
we were a good team.
I was able to pick out the people who I knew were just in it because they thought they were going to just work 7 hours a day. And, you know, they were applying for a job, like, as a PE teacher, and I was able to weed those out really quick.
But then, well, and you also brought people to the table. You were really good at attracting people so that I could talk to them.
Yeah,
seriously.
A big mouth, I guess. So, yeah, that's true. I was able to bring them to the table. So, yeah, we did make a good team. But the best part about it was getting to know you. And we probably would have connected anyway, but it was good opportunity over the 3 or 4 days to do that. So, Marcia's a good friend of mine, and I'm glad that you're here. But let's first tell everybody your history with the district.
This is my 34th year in
the
district.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
I started as a teacher out in Desert Hot Springs and then taught at Rancho Mirage Elementary School and Sunny Sands, then became an assistant principal after 17 years of teaching at Cathedral City Elementary. I was assistant principal and then went to Catherine Finchy to be principal for 7 years and then Rancho Mirage for 9 years.
Oh.
And now I'm a principal coach and I get to go to all the schools.
You know, when I met you, you were the assistant principal at Cathedral City Elementary, but I really have to say, and I won't use his name, but he was close to retirement and probably one of the most ineffective people I've ever met. I mean, really. And you had, you know, you've had probably out of all the principals in our district, especially who have been here for a while, you've had some strange challenges and experiences that not every principal has to deal with. You know, weird deaths like murders and people who, staff members who have died while they've been working at your site.
That's
and just
right.
just kind of really horrendous things. And if nothing else, it certainly, you know, gave you good experience, I guess, because there probably is nothing that you haven't seen. And you've dealt with it, you know, when there was a horrible thing at Cathedral City Elementary, that this guy, you know, killed his wife and his daughter, right?
That's correct.
And the wife worked at your school, and the daughter
right.
went to James Workman, and it was horrible. I mean, they found the remains in the landfill. And I mean, you really single-handedly handled everything that was happening with the kids and the staff because, as I said, the principal at the time was a placeholder.
He handled the media, and I handled the staff and students and parents. So.
But, I mean, what a challenge, and you've always been so professional and compassionate and just you know, I mean, I've never heard, you know, and being in my position, I pretty much hear everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, in between. I've never heard any single person, and I really mean it, say anything negative about you, because you can't.
Well, thank you.
It's the truth.
I'm not sure that's true,
no,
but thank you.
It is really the truth. So explain what this new position is, because you're the first person in the district. We have a new superintendent, not so new anymore, but she's been here a year and a half, and she and cabinet established this new position. We never had it before. So explain what the position is and what your role is.
Initially, the position was to work with new principals in the district at the elementary level in particular, since that's where my expertise is. It's kind of expanded so that I'm also working with the assistant principals in the district at the elementary level and working to help them hone their skills because they're our future principals,
hopefully.
And so my job is to work with them and to help them gain some skills. And then I'm also working with four of our schools that are doing a unique program and trying some different types of assessments and instruction. And so I'm working with those four schools, in addition to just being available for all the experienced principals that have questions, want an extra set of eyes to walk classrooms to help with instruction, or anything, paper, work, the reports, all of those kinds of things, sometimes just a shoulder to cry on, because at a lot of the elementary schools, you're the only administrator.
Right.
And so you don't really have anyone to talk to. And so just since I've been in the role of principal not so long ago, and that I know what it feels like to be a single administrator at a school, that sometimes it's just to vent. And that's okay, too. They know that it's safe with me and it's not going anywhere else.
Well, and the role of the principal has really evolved over the years. I mean, it used to be, you know, when you and I went to school, the principal was the person who handled discipline and pretty much sat at his or her desk most of the day, except when they were walking around to, you know, make sure that everybody was doing what they were supposed to do. But now the principal still has to do that. But now principals truly are instructional leaders, and they are spending a whole lot of their time in classrooms, right?
Right. And also not only in classrooms to make sure that quality instruction is taking place, but they have to have the knowledge too. So attending professional development so that they're up on the instructional strategies that the teachers are doing so that they can give them feedback. But it is like someone juggling lots of different balls in the air, because it's managing the school, keeping things safe, and we know that across the country things have gotten dangerous at schools. And so there's that piece that principals have to be thinking about all the time, whereas before they didn't have to think about that as much. The instruction, as you said, just managing the school grounds. And then you have a lot of employees, not just teachers, but classified staff as well. And then your parents and your students. So there's a lot of people involved and a lot of people that want just a minute. We always laugh as the principal when someone says, "Can I have just a minute?" Because it's never just a minute. And giving
they
a minute to
minute
everybody.
Now.
They want it now. And it's you have to, you know, juggle that and build those relationships with the with your community.
So. Yeah, and that's a, you know, that's really a tightrope and a delicate balance, because you have parents who are, you know, upset about whatever, something that didn't go right in the classroom that day, or their kid was in a fight with somebody, or their kid, you know, is being disciplined for something that happened at school. They want your attention this minute, and why do I have to wait till tomorrow to make an appointment? Or why, you know, how come the principal's not sitting here right now? Well, because they have other things. They have district meetings. They have, they're in classrooms, which is where they spend a whole lot of their time, making sure that teachers are doing everything that they're supposed to be doing. And how many visits into a classroom, each classroom, does a principal do in a year?
How about let's going by the month instead of the year, just
goodness.
Because I think it's kind of hard. Principals are constantly in and out of classrooms. We just call them drop-ins, where they just may walk the whole campus and just popping in for a minute or two just to make sure everything's okay and then going to the next classroom. In addition to that, they go and sit in classrooms to watch instruction, and usually that's 10 or 15 minutes, and give teachers feedback on what's happening in the classroom, positive things that they're doing, and also things to help them become better teachers. And then in addition to that, twice a year, principals are in the classroom doing formal observations of teachers, where that's a big chunk of time. That's usually an hour.
That
middle school, high school would be a period, but for the elementary, it's usually an hour period of time of sitting and scripting the entire lesson from beginning to end, and then going back and writing the information up and then meeting with the teachers afterwards to go over the feedback. So it really does depend on the month and the year. But
do the teachers know when the formal observations are going to take place, or they don't?
Yes, they are scheduled ahead of time, because there's a process in the evaluation of teachers that we meet with them and go over what they're being evaluated on. And so we meet with them. We meet with them a second time to go over the lesson plan of what actually they're going to be doing during that formal lesson. And then after the lesson is over, we meet with them. Usually try to meet with them that day, even if it's just for five or 10 minutes, so that we can just talk quickly about how they felt it went, and then we spend time writing it up, which usually takes a couple of hours. It's usually not done during school time, but after school, and then we meet with the teacher within the week or so to be able to actually go through every component of the teaching standards to show them how they did.
So for those of you who might have just joined us, you're listening to Learn Something New Every Day, and our guest today is Ms. Marcia Boring, and she's a principal coach, the only one we have and the first one we have here in Palm Springs Unified. So for a new principal, this is heavy-duty stuff. I mean, some of them, usually, the progression is that they were an assistant principal first.
Usually, but not always.
Not always. So some of them, I mean, they've never done this before. You know,
right.
They've been on the other side, where they've been the person who's been evaluated. And they're going to be evaluated, too, by their
That's
boss.
Well.
And do you do evaluations of principals? I'm sure now in your role you probably have input into there.
Actually, I don't.
You don't?
I'm the coach, so I'm there to support.
That's probably good, though. That's because they probably feel more comfortable knowing that, you know, like what you say, what did they say when you arrest somebody? Anything you say or do can be held against you in the court. That they know that whatever they say to you is not going to affect their evaluation.
Right.
Because they can vent their frustrations to you without it saying, well, you should know that.
Right.
So I guess that's really a good thing.
It's that confidentiality piece. Now, people in the district office in different positions can come to me and say, this principal is struggling with this, please make contact and go work with them on that. So the information goes that way. And general, something might come back, a question might come to me just in general of, you know, how are things going or whatever, but nothing specific. And when I meet with principals and they are telling me things, I ask them, is this something you want me to take back to the district to get help for you, or is this something, are you just venting to me and want my help?
Well,
I always ask that.
I'm smiling because we've had a lot of these conversations over the years too.
Yes, we have.
Because I do sit in on cabinet. I'm not an official member of cabinet, but I go to the meetings every week, and I do have their ear. And so you a lot of times would vent a frustration to me, and it's always been, okay, do you want me to do something with this, or are you just venting? And most of the time you tell me, no, I'm just venting, it's okay. But so I know exactly what you're talking about in that respect. And what has the response been from the principals they have now, because some of them aren't brand new. They're, you know, maybe they had a year or two under their belt before you came in. Has it been that they've really embraced it, or have they been reticent, or, you know, what kind of response have you gotten?
The majority of them have been very welcoming and want my support. And so it has surprised me that most of the experienced principals as well have called me for something, either for help with a report or if they want to start some kind of new program just to bounce something off me. Is this something you think might work? Do you see any barriers or obstacles? Something I didn't think of, those kinds of things, or to vent because they've never had anyone to vent to and you have to go outside to somebody else. And that's hard sometimes because the person that you go to vent to may not have any background in education and may not really be able to help you or to relate to you. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the experienced principals call me to come once or twice out to their school just about something specific, but I've had some others that are scheduling regular meetings once a month that I go out and sit with them or walk classrooms with them, but we have a scheduled time every month. So that's been a little surprising, but makes me really happy that they trust me and that they feel that I have something that I can offer them. So that's exciting for me.
Well, honestly, Marcia, not at all because you're a friend of mine. Just speaking professionally, I think, this position was not y'all come apply for it. You were handpicked to and asked whether you were, and of course you had an interview, but if you were interested in the position, because it just seemed like a no-brainer because of the experience that you have and the reputation and the fact that the principals do, the new ones and the ones who have been here for a long time, they all respect you and know that you have their backs. So
it was very humbling to be asked to do this. It's very humbling.
So thankfully you do go visit school, so you're still having a little bit of contact with the kids, but has it been hard not to have, you know, the daily kids that you saw every day?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not having my own kids and not having my own staff, that's probably been the hardest part of the job. And on certain days during the school year, the beginning of the school year, the last day of the school year, holiday time when programs are going on, and knowing that I don't have a home to go to see the kids and the families and the staff, that's been really hard. But I just keep telling myself that because I'm at so many different schools, that hopefully I'm positively impacting
people. That's what
more
I was going to say. That's
so
right.
And that's, I have to keep telling myself.
I think that's the way you have to look at it, because, you know, principals especially are in the position of having a whole school, and a lot of them get to know, I know you always have, you know, every kid's name, and they come and they give you hugs, and you don't have that anymore, but if you look at the more global perspective, you are touching, you know, thousands of kids now versus 400 or 500 at your school site. So everybody benefits, and the other parts, you just have to, you know, on those days, pick a school and go visit and feel the warmth. It's not exactly the same, but, you know. We've had a couple of people who have gone from being a principal and coming over to the district office in a different position and have gone back because they couldn't stand it. It was that hard. Everything that I've heard from, you know, from cabinet and from the principals has been extremely positive, and I'm so glad that this position's been established and that you're in it, because it is making a really big difference. What would you say are some of the biggest challenges that you face in this position?
Scheduling, having enough time to get to all the schools and all of the places that need my help. I think every week getting, you know, the schedule and moving around from place to place. And at the end of the day, I'm exhausted. I was exhausted being a principal too, but it was a different kind. And I think the challenge of just getting the administrator that I'm working with to be reflective, and for me not to tell him what to do, or to go do it, because sometimes, you know, I just have that feeling I want to fix the problem, and I know one way to fix the problem, and so I want to jump in and do it, but that's not my role. My role is to coach and to support them and give them different options for them to then choose what's best for their leadership style and for their school. So I would say that's probably the hardest thing for me.
Yeah, and that would be, but I was expecting you to say that there's, like, you know, there's this one principal, and I'm not going to name them, but they just, you know, they just don't get it. They just, no matter what I say or do, you don't have that?
There are times that it takes a lot of support and a lot of questioning and a lot of giving them examples of things that they might do and try to show them some of the consequences that are coming up by a decision that they're getting ready to make. So, yes, that's happened before, but I think that everybody pretty much the, you know, most of the principals are right there with me and want the support. Yeah, there are a few that don't take my ideas and go ahead and do what they want to do. And then I have to sit tight and wait until they're struggling. And then I get that other phone call of, okay, now what? But that's okay, because we do that with our kids too. As a teacher, you can't do everything for them, that they have to have a productive struggle and find out why they do that. Or even as a parent, you do that with your own kids. Sometimes they have to learn the hard way, as we say, to really learn the lesson. And so that's no different. Principals are a group of people, and so they're all different personality types and all different learning styles. And so I just go with the flow, and I work with each one differently and help them in whatever they need help with.
So let's say you're starting the beginning of a school year and you are working with a new principal, maybe brand new, maybe they have a year under their belt. How would you describe a successful year at the end of that year with that principal?
I think that if they set goals and that they see that their goals were met, if they were reasonable goals and moving the staff. The most important thing, if you're a first-year principal, if we're talking about a first-year principal, is building relationships. Not making changes to the school unless it has something to do with safety, then of course you need to make a change to the school immediately if there's safety gaps. But other than that, it's really about building relationships. Building relationships with your staff. The first thing is the secretary and the custodian. As a teacher, they tell you that too.
And, you know, I know you had that twice. Yes. That I'm aware of in your career. Both times you had staffs that, because there are some staffs that there's a lot of change in the staff. For whatever reason, they end up, either they're not happy or a lot of them retire or whatever happens, and there's a lot of turnover. And so that's not as much of a challenge when a new principal comes in. But when you have a tight-knit staff like you had at Catherine Finchie, and then you had it again at Rancho Mirage, and you had long-time principals before you, mm-hmm. that's difficult.
It is difficult, but it's the most important thing.
Right.
You have to build that relationship with your staff. and with your students being out on the playground all of the time, being in the classrooms, visible before school, after school, so that you're connecting with parents, they see you there, you're at every school event, any district events, you are there so that the parents see you and you have a chance to network with them outside of issues at school. So when a parent does have a problem at school with their child or with an employee and they want to come and talk to you, there's already a positive relationship built, and so it's much easier to have that conversation and get something resolved if you have built that strong foundational relationship. So that's my message to all of the new principals, all the assistant principals, is look to building relationships, not changing the way programs are, not really making any changes unless it's absolutely necessary, because you need to learn the culture of the school community, not just the teachers, but the whole school community, before you start making changes.
And plus, you don't want to walk in like with this iron fist and say, I'm here now, and this is the way we're going to do it. And especially if it's a big change, and right. Sometimes it is. And sometimes it's not even... Sometimes not even that it's the principal's idea. Maybe they have to. You know, maybe it's coming from a higher than they are. But still in all, when you have a staff that's used to doing something in a certain way, you're right, you have to ease into it.
Well, and of course, whatever the district initiatives are, you have to make those changes. And you're learning along with the teachers. But really, for the principals, a lot of them have a vision because they've wanted to be a principal for a long time. So they have a vision of what their school's going to look like. And because of that, they come in and try to get to that vision of their school too fast without building the relationships. And so that's my constant mantra to them. The first year is building relationships and checking in on them. What are you doing to build relationships? And even in the second year, what are you doing to continue to build relationships?
And be on campus as much as possible, right?
Yes.
Because I cringe at the few times I hear, well, they're never here. What do you mean they're never here? That's not a good thing to hear about a site principal, that nobody ever sees them.
Right. And especially in the first few years, they really need to be on campus to establish themselves.
Well, and it's a feeling of safety, security, and reassurance, too.
Absolutely, and especially if there's no assistant principal.
Right.
So if you are a single principal and you're not on campus very much, then that sets a tone. And the same thing that I always told my new teachers, I tell my principals, you can only make a first impression once.
Amen to that.
Once you've done it, that's it, and it's really hard to change things around.
Well, I hope you're not retiring anytime soon, but when you do retire, and I hopefully it will be from this district, I know you worked in Blythe like for a couple years, right?
One year in Blythe and 1 year in England.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if I knew about England. Maybe. So I'm assuming that when you do retire, it will be from this district. I don't think you're going to go anywhere.
Not planning on it.
What would you like your legacy to be?
Oh, my goodness. I would like my legacy to be that I was caring.
Well, you don't have to worry about that, because that's evident every single day. And
thank you.
It's the truth. And I'm fortunate to have you as my friend, and Palm Springs Unified is very fortunate to have you in the role that you're in, and you've contributed immensely over the years and are now doing it at an even greater level. So thank you for everything that you do.
Thank you, Joan.
And we'll have you back.
Okay.
Like, you know, if not in the spring, then next fall, get an update.
Okay, sounds great.
All right. Next week, our guest will be my monthly co-host, our arts coordinator, Louisa Castrodale. She's bringing Zach Fleming, who manages the education programs at the Palm Springs Art Museum to talk about our Art Within Reach program for elementary students. Our show airs each Sunday on AM 1340 KWXY, and our podcast is uploaded each Sunday afternoon. Please subscribe by going to iTunes. Look for You Learn Something New. Press subscribe. Please tell all your friends to do the same. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week.